Shall we just come before God in prayer and just invite God to be with us in every place that we are here and represented this morning? So, let's just focus in on God. God, you are good, and your love endures forever. You are good. Even when we can't see your goodness, you are good. And your love endures forever. God, you are good. And for many of us, if not all of us, we can testify to the ways that you have been good to us at different times and with different experiences in our lives. And we thank you because it reminds us that your love endures forever. God, you are good. You send rain and sunshine on the righteous and the unrighteous alike, so that what we need may grow in season. And it reminds us that your love endures forever. God, you are good. We want to thank you and praise you as we gather together this morning, that we can remind one another of your goodness. We can remind one another of your love. We can express something of your goodness, and we can encourage one another to remember your goodness and that you are love. You are love that is infinite, and you are love that is incarnate. You are love that is there, but more importantly, you are love that is here. And we welcome you, our God of love. Father, to you to be with each one of us this morning as we spend this time sharing together. Jesus, we pray that we would sense something of your presence with us as we seek to worship you in spirit and in truth. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here in our various homes and rooms and places that we are meeting, even when it's the garden shed that's been converted into an office. You are welcome where we are. And we take this moment just in our hearts to welcome you, to enjoy your presence, acknowledge your love. Come, Lord, meet with us as we seek to meet with you, as we seek to meet with one another. Be our heart this morning. In Jesus' name, we ask these things. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, as ever, I'm going to pop everybody on mute so that we aren't interrupted by inconsequential things that are going on in the background. And I'm not mentioning any of our families, cats, dogs, other things that might get in the way. But so you're now muted. But of course, you are welcome to contribute and to participate at every stage. So just to remind us all that if you want to do that, then you'll need to unmute yourself. And but feel free to share however and whenever you feel led to do so. This morning, we're going to continue what we've been exploring over this last month, which is based on Matthew 16:18, where Jesus said, I will be building my kahal, And we've been looking at some of the history, some of the context of Jesus' teaching that's replicated there in Matthew 16. And I think over these last few weeks, most of us would agree that what Jesus said he was going to be building is quite a long way from what most of us see in the world today. What we see in the world today is quite a poor reflection of what Jesus said he was going to be building. But we've also acknowledged that throughout the history of the church down the centuries in lots of different ways, often at the margins, the very edges of the church, there have been people, women, men, young and old, who have been seeking to find and live the simple way of Jesus. And sometimes that's been on the very edge of the church, and sometimes that's been even been beyond the edge of the church. But there have been those that have been inspired to follow the way of Jesus in a very simple form that has often led them into conflict with the church and sometimes persecution by the church, and on occasions to be outside of the church and doing their thing with Jesus out there. But the good news is, as we've been reminding ourselves over these last few weeks, the good news is that Jesus promised to be building his gathering, his community, his kahal, has never been rescinded. And so Jesus is still at work, working with those who are seeking to work with him as the master builder in building what it is that Jesus has in mind rather than what we have in mind. And this morning, we're going to be bringing our conversation of these last 4 weeks into our fifth week. We're going to be bringing that conversation right up to date. And we're going to be looking at ways in which Jesus' kahal is being built in the 21st century. What does that look like today? But more importantly, what does that show us for the future? We can look back and we can look at how things have been, but that doesn't necessarily indicate how things have to be in the future or are going to be in the future. We've looked over the last couple of weeks at how the institutional church in the West is in significant and serious decline. So where is Jesus building his kahal, his gathering, his community in ways and places that are beyond what we think of as the institutional church? What's Jesus doing out there in our communities? And we want to hear a little bit about some of that this morning. Before we dig into all of that, the appropriate place is to reflect on and to recognize the place of Jesus and the role of his Spirit. In all of our conversation over these last few weeks, we've recognized that Jesus is our living hope. Without Jesus, there is no kahal, no ecclesian, no gathering, no community, no church. So we need to be building what we're doing on the rock that is Jesus. And so as we come to worship him this morning, we're going to spend a little bit of time just reflecting on some songs that, or using a couple of songs that reflect on the presence of Jesus and the presence of the Holy Spirit as our living hope. So feel free to join in with these as you wish, either to sing along, or if you know the songs, or to just allow them to speak to you of what God is saying to us this morning. Let's just take a moment to fix upon the desires of our heart. What's in your heart before God this morning? What do you need from God? What do you need to be reminded of his presence, of his love? As Christians, our ultimate security comes from knowing that we are loved by a loving God. And that because of Jesus, his death, his resurrection, the witness of the Holy Spirit is that we are loved forever. Maybe two or three this morning just want to unmute themselves and to offer up prayers of thanks or praise or adoration. Whatever's in your heart, just feel free to lead us in a short time of prayer and response to who God is.
Loving Father, we thank you this morning. We're loved by you. Lord, we praise you that you've got your hands upon us and your arms round about us. We thank you, Lord, that you've said you will never leave us nor forsake us. We bless you this morning, Lord, that you indeed have been watching over us and that you've been blessing us. And Lord, we just give you thanks. We give you praise. We love you, Lord, this morning, not just in word, Lord, but we love you from our hearts because you've done such great things for us. We thank you, Lord, that you've saved us. You've cleansed us from our sin. You've made us right with yourself, and you've put upon us the robe of righteousness, because our righteousness is just filthy rags. So we bless you this morning, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Lord, thank you that you are so faithful to us, Lord, and you are the same yesterday, today and forever. Lord, your love never changes. And Lord, when we fall down, when we muff it up, when we get it wrong, when we stumble, Lord, when we turn away, Lord, you just look upon us, Lord, and lift us up and forgive us. Lord, thank you that your love is just never ending, Lord.
Father, thank you that you are always there, that as the Father welcomed the prodigal back, so your arms are always open wide. We only need to turn to you and you are there. By an act of will, we stand back from where we would be and turn back to you, knowing that your arms are always there. Your mercy is always there, your grace and your love. Lord, they just are there. Thank you. Thank you that there is nothing that we can do or say or think that would turn your love away from us. Thank you, Father.
And Jesus, thank you that it's in these moments of quiet listening, contemplating, reflecting, reaching out with our hearts, with our spirits, with our minds, reaching out to connect with one another and to connect with you. Thank you that it's in these quiet moments that we very often experience the depth of Kahal. Jesus, build your kingdom here. We pray today. Amen. So we are focusing on Kahal today. We're focusing on that gathering of people that Jesus was part of, the community that would gather in towns and villages in Jesus' day, to which everybody was invited, where everything would be discussed, and in the midst of which people would reflect what God was doing and would give spontaneous praise using the Psalms, maybe, or just a prayer of praise and adoration to God because of what God was doing in the midst of life. And in the midst of that, there might be some teaching and those kinds of things. That's the kind of kahal that Jesus was part of. That's that word that's translated into Greek as ecclesian that we read in Matthew 16, 18, and that we can see glimpses of in the world around us today. And what we want to do this morning is just hear a few stories of what kahal looks like, what ecclesian looks like in the 21st century. And it's the question of what is God up to out there in our communities? Where is God at work in our communities? And how then can we learn from what is happening out there to think about how we, as a gathering, as a church, as a congregation, how then might we better reflect what kahal looks like in the 21st century? And I put the request out last week, if anybody's got any stories of kahal happening in the here and now, then we'd love to hear it. And a number of you, I know, are ready to share a little bit of what you're seeing God doing in your various places. So I don't know whether anybody wants to go first and just share a little bit of what kahal means in their context, what God is up to and what you're seeing God do in the community in which you live, work, minister, for example. Does anyone want to go first? Going first can always be a little bit awkward, but I've got a couple of things I could share just to kind of whet our appetite, if that's helpful. So the first thing is I want to talk about a guy who's been called as a missional listener in a community that he lives in. And his job is to listen to what's going on in his community. He lives in a village in Dorset, and his job is to listen to what God is doing. And it took him about a year to stop listening to what God was doing in the church and to stop hearing what the church was doing. And it took about a year before he began to really see that what God was doing in the community was happening in all sorts of different places. It was happening in their local school. It was happening in their local community centre. It was happening in the village shop and the food bank that was then set up as part of the village shop. And over the last year or so, particularly with lockdown, he's been listening to the way that his community have come together to express a sense of love and care and commitment to one another. And not all of that's motivated by people's Christian faith. In fact, rarely is it motivated by people's Christian faith. But in the midst of that, what he can see is the way that God is moving people and is enabling him to begin to have conversations with people, usually involving food or going for walks in the countryside when they were allowed to do that. Just exploring people's motivation and asking the question, why do you feel the way you feel about these things? And what's often coming back is people not using Christian language, but saying, I feel drawn to do this. I feel that I have to respond to this situation by doing this thing in showing love and care. And this guy is able to very gently point people to the source of that love and is encouraging people to think about the claims of God as a response to what they're already doing in their communities. So there's one example of what kahal could look like in the 21st century. People coming alongside people who've got no faith, have never had faith, and explaining to them, helping them to explore together, wrestle together, explore together, how God is already at work in them. And then what that might mean for their future and where they might learn more about what God is saying and what God is doing. And so pointing them, for example, to things like the Bible or to other groups that are doing similar kinds of things. That's one example of what kahal can look like in the 21st century in a village where there's no church, where there's missional listening is taking place and seeing what God is doing and trying to join in and encourage others to see it through the eyes of God, not just through the eyes of people. That's one example. Maybe I want to share some other examples of what God is doing right here, right now. Yeah, Lisa.
Sorry, folks, couldn't find the button. Danny and I have been, before Christmas, we started something, it was a bit of a pilot called Empty Hands. And I think the history of it, it came from sort of Danny's own experience, I think, didn't it? And it's something that's sort of grown. And it was a pilot, but I mean, it was a call to sort of bring people together who connected with a sense of needing to express some form of loss or brokenness. And so the Kahal became a small community of people who came together online via Zoom. We didn't know where it was going, did we? I think we just kind of put the call out there, and it was a pilot, so it wasn't advertised widely. We wanted about six people, and what was, I think, a God miracle that we got exactly six people. and we ran something, and I think it was a Kahal, a community that came together and became quite an intimate community for a small amount of time. And the bit I wanted to just share from that, most people in the group were believers, and it wasn't something we stipulated, because the group isn't necessarily for believers. It's for people who want to express loss or brokenness in some form. But the friend joined who isn't a believer, and it just kind of committed her into God's hands, really. And it's just really something really special to see how she's growing as a result of being part of that group. And I discovered a few days ago that she's actually connected with somebody else in the group who is also a Christian, and they're doing walks together, and a friendship's grown. And then at 9:45 this morning, I got a text from her just as a request to pray for her situation. She's distressed about something in her own life. I've known her for 15 years. She's never asked me to pray for anything. And that is just through, it's just through people coming together and us being authentic together, I think. So Danny, I don't know if you wanted to add anything to that, but it's just an example of something. I don't think we've tried to control it or force it, and we don't know where it's going in terms of how to move it forward. I don't want to turn it into a project or a program in that sense, but I think it created a Kahal.
And one of the things, so just picking up on Lisa's point, that's worth reflecting on, is that absolutely right, we had no idea where this would go or how it would work. We are completely dependent on what God wants to do with it. We're not trying to force it, we're not trying to push it, we're not trying to control it or run it. We're just simply sitting with it, holding it out, if you like, as an offering to God and saying, God, this is in your hands, and do with it what you will. We're ready to be obedient to what you lead us to do with it next, and to be obedient with what you bring in. But it's in your hands, it's not in our hands. And so in that sense, it reflects something of the values of Kahal, very much so, yeah. So gathering people, whether they have faith or not, in the midst of their lives, in order to hear something of God, and to bring about transformation. Yes, absolutely. Thank you, Lisa. Yeah, Julie.
I want to talk about our involvement with the community centre, and then particularly how Eric and others have asked how that's going, and telling us that they're praying for what we do and praying for the various people there. That's been hugely encouraging over the last few years where we've had that involvement. As it happens, come the end of March, none of the church will then be trustees of the community centre, but so we were there for a season. But that involvement that a number of us had, and the encouragement from, like I say, Eric specifically on the screen, who would always ask how it was going, and said they were praying for people involved in that.
And are you able to reflect a little bit about how you see Kahal in that context?
I think the encouragement from people in the fellowship was building us. So I will build my Kahal. So the encouragement we had from that prayer from other people helped us in what we were doing out there. And who knows what our involvement will have, what impact that will have had. You know, sometimes it's hard to see, but you just don't know what it's going to be in the future. So God is behind all of us who've been involved. God has been behind that. And then people in prayer have been behind us as well. So it's all part of the same package.
Yeah. Great, thank you.
And then through that, so people have, who haven't known much about God particularly or his love, have experienced that. Now, we don't know what their responses are, particularly in their own minds and hearts, but they've certainly seen it and witnessed to it, actually, yes.
Yeah, and the opportunity to connect through things like meals and various events have been aimed at building those relationships. Okay, so some of the ways that Kahal is taking place today. I don't know whether, Ellie, this is a good time to bring you in. I know that you might need to disappear at some point, so I just might want to encourage you, if you want to take this opportunity to share a little bit of what you're doing with the Wildfire group.
Yeah, thank you. It's really great to be with you all. Hello, everyone. Yeah, I'm Ellie, and Lisa just wondered whether I would share with you about Wildfire, which is basically the name of kind of a youth project that I'm a part of. And just to give you a bit of kind of like history of like how it started, because I feel like that's important in understanding how we're a community. But so back in 2016, there was an event on the Cathedral Green outside, which is a cathedral called Tent on the Green. And we came together as youth workers from different churches to run a youth tent over that weekend. And there was, it was over a 72-hour period, and there were worship bands just playing. And so there was worship going on the green day and night for 72 hours. And then the youth tent was open, and young people were kind of coming in, and we were just chatting. But what was amazing about it was that what we found was being in God's presence and intentionally doing that together, like from all different churches and denominations, we just found that we had so many conversations with young people, and it was so easy because we were like in that kind of presence of God that whole weekend together. And I remember one of the teenage boys came in, and he had broken his foot, and that particular day was in a lot of pain. So one of the team prayed for him, and he was running up and down going, "It doesn't hurt anymore." And he ran and got his friends to just come to the tent. And it was as we were kind of packing down from that event, really, that us as youth workers, we'd spent so much time planning for this and getting to know each other, and we were really good friends by the end of the weekend. And we said, "Oh, let's not stop. Like, it's not about running an event, is it? This, imagine if what we saw this weekend we could see on a daily basis. Imagine if that was just life." And so we've kept meeting together and working together ever since then. And what that looks like today is, one of the things we are really passionate about from that weekend is that God really wants to meet with young people. And when they come into his presence, they're like transformed, and he can do amazing things. So one of the main places we've felt God lead us to go be that community is in the schools. We go into Tenerife and Westgate, two of the schools in Winchester, on a weekly basis. And we run, you know, projects, but really those projects are just tools to be in the school and be present and build relationships one-on-one with young people and to take the Lord's presence there, you know, and pray in the schools. And so we do that. And then lots of us in the team, we all run like youth groups, as you would imagine. And so I thought I'd just share a little story of the youth group that I run on a Friday night, which, you know, we're all on Zoom at the moment, aren't we? So we're on Zoom with our youth group. And the young people that I have on a Friday night, none of them have grown up with church or have any kind of church experience. But we've been learning to hear God's voice together on Zoom calls. And it's been so fun. We've tried to make it really creative, so just give lots of space for them to encounter God. And we read together the story of when Jesus walks on the water and Peter gets out of the boat and he starts walking, but then he kind of sinks, doesn't he? And we read that with them. And this one lad who, you know, he would say to himself, "Oh, I'm just stupid and I'm not very good because, you know, maybe he doesn't get great grades at school and that kind of thing." But every time we read the Bible together, he just kind of gets it like that. So we read this story and I said, "Oh, what's the thing that stands out to you guys?" And he just immediately went, "When Peter started thinking, Jesus saved him immediately, like straight away." And I was like, "Yeah, that's such a good point to come away with." And just reminded me of you guys looking at Matthew 16 and you know, Jesus saying, "Well, who do you say I am? You know what everybody else says about who I am. What do you say?" And so I think we're just trying to encourage the young people, who do you say God is? And let it be a God revelation that he gives them. So yeah, that's just a kind of snippet about a real snippet really of Wildfire and what we do, and we're just gathering as a team on Zoom as well at the moment. But yeah, we love working together, and we realize that we need each other to kind of to do that, to be community and see God move in the schools and with the youth. Does that make sense?
That's really helpful, thank you. Yeah, very much so. And if we wanted, we'll have an opportunity for a bit more prayer in a bit, but if there's one thing or maybe two things that you wanted us to pray for, what might they be?
At the moment, we're praying as a team for what things have kind of had to go a bit quiet, what with lockdown and everything. And we've all been busy trying to get online and get ourselves organised. So we're seeking God as to new ways that we can be working together in the current environment, and what that might look like. Yeah, some inspiration and guidance on that would be great. And the school's work, we really felt before lockdown that God told us the schools is, you know, you mentioned, Danny, about, you know, where is God already at work? And we're like, yeah, it's the schools. So just we want to walk alongside whatever God's doing in the schools. And one of the ways that we do that is at Tuesday lunchtime. So I currently still go into school and do one-to-one support with the kids who are still going in. And but in the lunchtime, the school have given me a room for prayer. And I video call the rest of the team and we pray in the school. So yeah, if you want to pray with us on a Tuesday, we just want to ask God's presence to be there, really trying to bless all the students and stuff. That'd be
great. Fantastic. So what time do you play from?
It's only half an hour, so it's 1:15 to 1:45 on a Tuesday.
Right. Thank you. Good. Thank you. Any other, and thank you for joining us today to share that. I really appreciate that.
Thanks for letting me. It was great.
What other ways are we seeing God at work today? How do these things we're hearing, how do they resonate with what we're seeing of Cahal? Yeah, John.
You go first, Lisa.
Sorry, it was just linked to wildfire, just before we move on from wildfire. I just wanted to add one thing, if that's okay, Ellie, in terms of what I've picked up about wildfire, because we've been talking a lot in our church community about what church isn't as well as what it is. And I think what you're doing with wildfire, Ellie, what really stands out for me in terms of building community is you're not doing it with an agenda to bring young people into an existing church structure. You're meeting with young people where they are, and then you're working out with young people what church might look like. So I just really want to encourage and bless you in what you're doing in that kind of technique. It's not, and you're not doing it from a particular church, or you're doing it as wildfire, you're doing it independently from churches. So I just felt that was significant, Danny, in terms of what you've been bringing about what church is and what it isn't over the last few weeks. So thank you, Ellie, for sharing that.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, Jonathan.
I just feel so often, there was a thing I read in a book yesterday, I think you've read it, Danny, Spurgeon. Spurgeon, good old Baptist, never prayed for more than 5 minutes, but never went for more than 5 minutes without praying. It's a sort of Eric life, really. I just wonder, when I look back, when you asked the question the other week, that Cahal is probably far more out there than we actually realise in so many conversations that we may have with all kinds of different people. So, I mean, I could tell you loads of conversations that I have in chaplaincy at the moment, and there are loads and loads and loads and loads of them. And they're all really interesting because they're people, we're now in a period where people have had so much thrown up in the air in their own lives and are asking so many big questions about what we're here for and all of that. And we can talk at great length about all of that, but I just want to think about a few other things. A little while ago, actually, when we were on holiday in Italy, and we're on this boat on one of the on one of the lakes, a beautiful lake. We'd seen this couple of chaps wandering about the town in Lucerne. No, that's not right. Somewhere anyway. And then we ended up on the boat near each other. And the conversation got going, and they found that they were a couple of Catholic priests. And it just develops into a time of worship and contemplating God with each other in this moment. You know, we're on our holiday, they're on their little trip around the place, and it was just very casual, but very, very focused and very real sense of the community of God here in the middle of this boat with everybody else around us. And then we held hands together and we prayed together, and it was just so easy and lovely. So that was really just encouraging for us and for them. Didn't affect anyone else as far as we know. I mean, they might have seen us praying together or not, I don't know. We wrote loads of things down.
I did.
Yeah.
Kirky's gone.
Yeah, okay. So also with like with Julie's choir, so this is high church stuff, in Julie's choirs, various choirs, there's all these lovely people who enjoy singing, not because that they're a spiritual thing, but because they're musical. And I am a in-law, so I can sing, but I can't sing with a whole load of notes in front of me. That's and understand. But often what happens is, in amongst the various conversations that we have as the in-laws, it turns to faith in some way or other. It's partly because of what the rest of them are singing, but and it's just very natural and again really lovely, because it's not been intentional, but you sense that the Spirit of God is bringing this conversation about, and people grow in their discipleship through that. And then when things happen in their lives later on, which has happened on a number of occasions, we are able to bring a deeper, an even deeper sense of God into that, where exactly where they need that, and we need that as well. When I was ill a few years ago, they were that for us too. So it's just, there we go.
Excellent. I think one of the key things I've just heard in what you said there, Jonathan, is about spontaneity. It's about being always ready in every moment to embrace what God is doing. So whether that's connecting with somebody, Catholic priest on a boat, or whether that is being able to have a conversation with people who are other, in-laws, there's something spontaneous about that. It's about always being ready in the moment to see what God is doing. And that is one of the essences of Kahal. Is we never know how the conversation is going to go, but it's about asking the question, always being ready to ask the question, what is God doing here? And what's my response to what God is doing here? Is one of the hallmarks of Kahal. We've heard that across a number of the stories that we've been reflecting on already this morning. It's that sense of being able to listen and being able then to respond in an appropriate way. And that's one of the characteristics that we'll reflect on a bit later of Kahal, spontaneity. Yeah, thank you. Other things that are indicators or experiences that we've had that might be a reflection today of Kahal. Yeah, Bob.
One thing I was going to share about is the men's prayer group that we meet together in on a Friday morning. And it's been going for, I'm not sure actually, I had to think about it, 4 or 5 years, something like that. And I'm quite proud of the fact that the men's group started before the women's group. It's usually the other way around, isn't it? But anyway, well done, men. And we've been getting together every Friday morning. Different people lead it. We always look through a bit of the Bible. We've had people come and go and as they've needed. But a couple of events, one event stands out. One of the guys knew someone who was basically dying of cancer, and his garden really needed some attention. So he just asked us if we'd go along and give him a hand to sort it out. So his widow didn't have a huge job. Once he was gone. And we all, about 4 or 5 of us went along. We just attacked the garden and were just there for them. Now, it hasn't developed into anything that I've known about, but I suspect this other friend of mine who started the thing was able to just carry on the conversation with them, carry on the relationship and support them. That's one thing. It was completely spontaneous. We just went along and did it, which I think is a great part of any group that gets together is kind of Kahal-like, isn't it? And the other one that hasn't really resulted of anything very much that I can say, well, yeah, God was in that, was the WhatsApp group that started up in our close this time last year. when we all knew we were locked down, one of the people just started up the group and invited everybody along. And I think nearly everybody in the close is part of it now. And we all love it. But it's a group that I felt I could share a video that Charlie Mackesy recorded a few years back at Christmas, and I thought was particularly brilliant. Description of the nativity and how nobody really knew very much about what was going on. They all had their own difficult bits, but it was God's initiative and Jesus was right in the middle, and he is the one thing. This was the message anyway. Jesus was the one person who needs to be there in wherever we find ourselves. And I thought the way that he illustrated it and drew and talked through a story of his own life was particularly brilliant. So I just bunged it out there. I haven't had any response yet. So, yeah, perhaps pray about that. But that's another place I can see is like Cajal, like we all share stuff. We all say, well, I've got this if anybody wants it, or could anybody lend me a heater because my central heating has gone down. And, you know, everybody just joins in and gives. It's a great group. So... Okay, that's a couple of examples, but could you just pray for me to spot something that God is doing and take advantage of it as and when?
Yeah, thank you, Bart. So two things in particular just want to briefly draw out from those. So the first is that if something starts as a spiritual thing, it needs to become practical, because it's in the practical that we see Cajal. It's not saying that the spiritual is to be ignored or to be downplayed. I'm not saying that at all. But Cajal is built around practical things, the community coming together for a practical reason. And that's where Cajal is going to happen. And the second thing is that whole thing about communication. So being available and connecting with and being able to communicate with the people in our community is how Cajal happens as well. It's based on communication and being in a position to listen as much as it is to be able to speak. Hence the missional listening thing we were talking about earlier on. So, yeah, thank you, Bart. Two good illustrations of Cajal in the 21st century. Other examples? Yeah, Julie.
I was going to say also that practical outworking over the years, number of people sort of in or on the edge of church have had financial difficulties, and the church has been able to, or people within have been able to come together and help support people through that. In fact, 27 years ago, we were on the receiving end of that too. So, I think that's Cajal, building each other up, looking after each other, demonstrating God's love between us.
Yeah, that's right. Love in action. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Other thoughts, other examples? So another, oh yeah, okay, I go Mark, then I go back to Julie.
Always a bit wide hang relevant, it is really, but you'll know that I've got my tin soldier friends, and we are meeting on Zoom on a Friday night now, and we're doing Dungeons and Dragons, which you may have remembered from decades and decades ago, and it's a silly time of general bantering and insulting each other as usual, and trying to fulfil various quests. And obviously I've had these friends for 40 years, which is no mean feat really, and I think I've realised during lockdown that they value the friendship with me, as I do with them, more than I thought they did. I think I've discovered that a bit more over this last year or so. So that's been quite a little bit of a sort of miniature revelation, not to my credit particularly, but I suppose you always think you're less worth than you perhaps maybe are. That was quite interesting. But they all know I'm a Christian, definitely, and some of them are not very religious at all. But, in the Dungeons and Dragons, you have different character types like fighters and magicians and clerics. And I always choose to be a cleric. And I'm the one who can heal people. So my spells are defensive only. And I can heal people. And so we have lots of discussions about who gets healed and who doesn't and why and when. And that's it. It is quite silly. But also, my deity, if you like. It is not Christian, but it is St. Cuthbert. And if you heard In Our Time this week, just gone past, which is a Thursday, 9 o'clock morning with Melvin Bragg, which has been a very, very long running series. He talked about St. Cuthbert with some experts in the field. And one of my friends who definitely is in the group, who's definitely not a Christian, sent me a little email saying, did you hear this about St. Cuthbert? And I was thinking about sending around the link to the Radio 4 series before he sent me his email. So I just sent back saying, I was thinking about sending this around, but you've now made my mind up. So I just sent around the link about St. Cuthbert. And yeah, they're not really going to probably ever go to a traditional church, I don't think, unless the Lord really smokes them strongly, which I indeed hope he does. They do know that I'm a Christian, and we do have conversations from time to time, and there is sort of iron sharpens iron sort of thing there, a little bit in a sense, if you see what I mean. A bit of grit there sometimes, and that's quite a good thing, I think, really. So it is a bit like Bart was saying, I think, a bit like opportunities to share faith a little bit, but also to be counted as a Christian, and to not to be over serious about things, but also to have that as a benchmark as well. And I do hope and pray, and I don't think I'm particularly gifted at that, in terms of just talking about things in the conversation and in the thing of life, really. So I find that the hardest thing to do, really, because I'm a computer programmer. It works this way, it doesn't work any other way. And so I do find that difficult in getting to speak to other people, if that makes sense, because that's my personality type, I think, really, just the way I am. So, but nevertheless, we continue, and I do value prayers of people, and I do pray for myself, for them, that they will come to see, to know the Lord as we do. And that would be a really great thing. So,
brilliant. And there is something in Cahal about friendship, about building relationships, genuine relationships that are mutually supportive. And often there's been a sense over the years that for Christian mission, that we get to know people for the benefit so that we can then evangelize and we can win them for the Lord. And I'm not saying that's a bad thing, but what we're talking about here is deliberately cultivating genuine mutual friendships. And that means being in their lives and allowing them into our lives. And that's part of building Cahal. So, yeah, thank you, Mark. That's good. And I, too, enjoy Dungeons & Dragons. And I have a group that I connect with on a fairly regular basis, which include a whole bunch of young people, and you look at Linda's face right now, and manage to steer the conversation in all sorts of directions, unexpected ways, even though I don't play a cleric. Talk to me about that some other time. Julie, you had your hand up a second ago.
All right, carry on.
No, go on.
Okay, it's just, a number of these things we've talked about have been sort of building relationships with other people and the impact that has as well. But I think within sort of groups of Christians, God builds us up as well. And just think about the odd Christians that we have at work. And that is encouraging as well. And one, I do her appraisals, and in her appraisals, we pray. So, that's all very encouraging as well.
Yeah, good stuff. And I think it's something that Ellie was saying as well earlier on, is that Cahal isn't just built by being part of a particular gathering and a particular denomination and a particular church and all those kind of things. Actually, Cahal is bigger than that. What Jesus is building is building connections between different people. It's between people and whatever their background might be. And so having connections with people beyond the local church who are Christians, who we can share with, we can pray with, so at work or in other places, is a good thing. And I think is a genuine aspect of Cahal. Cahal was never an exclusive thing about, so the Pharisees are going to take themselves off in one corner and the Sadducees off in another way. And other people go, that wasn't what Jesus said was Cahal. Cahal was the people coming together to support one another. And so we need to be actively looking at where God is leading those relationships and building connection, because those connections are really important aspects of Cahal. Yeah, good stuff. Thank you. Other example. Yeah, David.
Hello. One of the things that we have at Spurgeon's is the pastoral groups. And you don't choose your pastoral group, you are assigned to it when you arrive. And so there's a rich mixture of us. And we are, for want of a better word, supervised by one of the lecturers, strictly relative term. And we meet once a week. And we decided fairly early in lockdown that we would meet once a week, whether it was term time or not. Sometimes one of us hosts rather than the lecturer, and sometimes there's only a couple of us, and sometimes there's all of us. It's very, very, very like the Thursday night prayer thing. We will get together, we will talk for about half an hour, we will swap news, we will swap life things. And the group, even in just the year and a half that it's been going, we've talked about big things, we've dealt with death, we've dealt with birth, we've dealt with relationship changes, we've dealt with good and bad, we've dealt with all kinds of things, and we meet and we chat and we pray, and then a week later we do it all again. And we are a very, very disparate bunch, much like the screen I'm looking at now. There's all kinds of ages, all kinds of backgrounds, all kinds of positions within the Christian faith, hardliners, liberals, all points in between. But we have big things in common, and we share them. And we respect them in each other, and it's been amazing. It's been the best, one of the best things about the study, regardless of the essays, regardless of the dissertation when it happens. These connections, this particular kahal, is something that I will value, continue to value, long after the other stuff is far behind.
That's really good. Thank you, David. And I can reflect back to my own time in training. And there was a sense at the time of really deep connection between people that were journeying on the same journey together. And it's interesting how some of those connections are far more important than any of the academic or any of the kind of the learning things. It's where things were shared and the reality of life was shared and the struggles of life were shared. The people that help you through those kinds of situations are the people that you have a sense of connection and commitment to, whereas others that just kind of come in maybe for a particular purpose and they come in, they go, and you may not see them again. So there's something about the deeper levels of relationship that are some of the signs of kahal, where we do life, real life, and where there's the opportunity to share the reality of life is where kahal is taking place. Lisa, yeah.
So it's David's story has just reminded me of actually a sort of another example. But most of you know I've been studying at Waverley Abbey College for the last couple of years, and I made some really good friends, and one of the friends is in the Netherlands, and everything was going great guns for her. She was just about to start her dissertation on dance. She's a dancer, and she got cancer, and she got a bit fed up with all the WhatsApps going around. So this links a bit to Bart's story about WhatsApp group as well. Keep asking her how she was, how the chemo was going, what's happening, da 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 da. So she set up a WhatsApp group, prayer support, and some of her friends joined the group who weren't Christians. They just said, Angela, we really care about you, so we want the update. So, and she said to them, do you mind if it's sort of a bit Christian-y? Because people write stuff on there about prayer and they send. And she said, and the person who wasn't a Christian said, no, I don't mind. And 6 months later, she's still in the midst of her cancer treatment. She's lost all her hair and she's right in that thick of it. She just muted the idea of setting up a group. So tonight, for the second time, we're joining together as a group, and it's just a group that's formed out of something really really awful, her cancer. And it will be international. So tonight I'll be on a call with people from Germany, the Netherlands, Switzerland, and the UK, with the primary purpose of seeing how Angela's doing and praying for her. But I think it's growing into something beyond the cancer. It's growing into a friendship group. So it's just growing incidentally.
Yeah. Thank you, Lisa. And there's a really important part. When we look forward rather than looking back, we need to recognise that Cahal in the future is not bound by geography. It's not bound by physically meeting. It's not saying there's no space for physical meeting. I'm not saying that at all. But Cahal in the future is less bounded in those physical limitations that it has been in the past. Technology enables us to have Cahal with a very diverse group of people. And just coming back to Empty Hands, the group we had with Empty Hands, I think it was only you and I, Lisa, that actually live in Winchester. And so the six people who joined the group, none of them live in Winchester. And yet we had a profound experience of Cahal in coming together and journeying together for a time. And there's still a sense of connection with that group. So Cahal in the future, Cahal now and in the future, is not bounded by physical locality. You know, you just think this morning there's a number of us who are here who don't live in Winchester. Jonathan.
It never was. So most of the New Testament is a WhatsApp group.
Yeah. Yeah. Writing letters, exchanging letters, keeping in contact. Absolutely right. Good point. Other thoughts about Cahal? Where's Cahal happening today? So I give you two final examples. One is a guy lives in Dorset and in Dorchester. And for him, Cahal is going to the pub. And he's created a thing that he would talk to Christians about being pub church, but he basically gathers between 8 and 10, usually mostly men, not exclusively, but mostly men from his local area that he's got to know, he's got a friendship with, and they meet in the pub. And they don't meet necessarily every week, but they do from time to time. And they do the kind of conversation, the kind of connection that we're talking about, they do in their local pub, or not necessarily, there's not one pub, they go to various different pubs. And for the non-Christian people that he's in contact with, they wouldn't come into a church building, but they will happily go to a pub. And so rather than expect them to come into his world, coming into a church building in order to do Cahal, he's gone to them in a way that is neutral, but is still able to have meaningful life conversations. And out of that, there has come the opportunity to open up some scripture and to pray for one another. And very often he's in a room with 8, 9, 10 people who have no church background, but who now are happy to share life and to reflect on, a bit as Ellie was saying, what the Bible is saying, and in the context of life to ask for and to pray for one another. So it's not just about, Cahal isn't something that we do when we invite people into our space. Cahal is something that we do when we go into their space, for example. Another illustration, which again is slightly different, is again down in Dorset, a guy who has set up a lending library for water sports equipment. And he recognised that there are a lot of people in his community who were living right next to the sea, but couldn't access the sea other than to go for a paddle, but who would love to for health reasons and the idea is that around the that water sports lifestyle, that community would form. And he started this last spring, literally 3 weeks before lockdown, the first lockdown came in. He launched this and he thought, oh, this is a disaster. Obviously, lockdown's happening. But actually, what do people want to do? They couldn't go to work. They couldn't connect with their friends and family in the way they would normally do so. But they could hire equipment and they could then go out on the water. And so he's been able to create a socially distanced, lots of different socially distanced conversations with people around serving their needs in a very specific way of enabling them to access the water. And out of that comes conversations. And into that, he's now being able to bring a sense of connection and a sense of community. So he has used resource to bless his community. And as he's blessed others, so they wanted to know and understand his motivation. And out of that, community has begun to be created. And he now has over 200 members for his water sports library, all of whom in some way, shape or form are connected into the kahal of what God is doing in that community. So there's just a different strand again of what God is doing around providing a service and serving the community. And out of that service, kahal is being formed. So we've looked this morning at lots of different ways that kahal is taking place. There's no uniformity or very little uniformity in those things. Though there are some hallmarks that we can take from this, that we can say, actually, there are some hallmarks, some commonalities that we can understand that are very similar across all of these different expressions of kahal. I'm going to give us a couple of minutes to think about that. But I want to just take an opportunity to, and not prompted by Ellie, but it connects with what Ellie was saying earlier about the Bible reading that she was talking about Peter being out on the water, walking out on the water. And so here is a song for us to reflect on about being out on the water. Oh, I love that version. Obviously, the point of it is kahal happens when we let go of the boat and we walk upon the waters, when we step out in faith, when we let go of our security in ourselves and in the things around us, and we are dependent on God and God's power alone. That's where kahal is happening. That's what we've been listening to in many ways this morning. Now, I want to be really clear. None of the examples that we've listed this morning, and there are others that we could share beyond these, none of these in and of themselves are fully kahal. None of them is perfect. None of them is fully formed. None of them is without their problems or difficulties or challenges. All of them need more of God. All of them. All of them are dependent on God turning up and doing what God needs to do. All of them are dependent on Jesus continuing to build them as those that are involved depend on him and him alone. I think the important thing I want us to understand this morning is that we're not just simply looking to do things for the sake of doing things. You know all that. It's not about copying what other people are doing because it works for them. We can't just import kahal. Kahal happens when we listen to what God is saying to us as a collective and as individuals. Kahal happens when each one of us, every single one of us, steps out and finds the places where God is calling us to be in kahal. And then collectively, we bring those kahals together and see something so much bigger than any one of us could do or achieve on our own, even with God's help. Kahal is both individual, what we put into it, and also what we bring together. Kahal isn't one or the other. It's both. There are no passengers in Kahal. We're all committed together because we are sharing together. We're in it together. We're journeying together. But equally, what God is calling each one of us to will be different. And that's okay. And that's okay. We stand together, but we also do what God is calling each one of us to do. We can't copy other people's kahal. We have to find it for ourselves because we are dependent on what God is doing in our lives. And that's why kahal and discipleship are so intimately entwined. What we can do, though, is we can reflect on some of the things we've been hearing this morning and to identify some of the commonalities, some of the things that we're able to recognize many of those illustrations shared together. So let me ask, what have you heard beneath the illustrations, beneath the examples? What are some of the commonalities that we've been hearing this morning? Any thoughts? Yeah, David.
Connection.
Do you want to explain a little bit more than that? Or just
these people have, where, you know, these groups, these gatherings, there's been either a common sense of purpose or a meeting of, as it were, minds at some level. But there has been a connection either forged or created between these people. And then that connection is maintained. Communication, regular meeting, WhatsApping, continually working on projects, whatever it is that brought these people together keeps them together. Because the thing that brought them together gives them a purpose.
Fantastic. I've been hearing that too. Jonathan.
So with what David's saying, if you think about what Ellie was describing after the thing in Winchester, what's that thing called?
Tent on the Green.
Almost all of the examples we've talked about, it's very clear that God is in the midst of it, whatever it happens to be. And that may be obvious to everyone there or not necessarily, but to those with their eyes and ears and hearts open, it's clear that it's not ostensibly brought about by people, but actually, because it is back to the what we're discussing originally is Jesus building his church, his kahal out and about. So it comes from him. It's not coming from us. But when we connect, when we allow that connection, as David said, when we allow that connection with him and with each other, then something quite miraculous begins to happen. Yep. And it's lovely.
And there are two routes in what you've just been saying there. There are two routes to get to that point. The first is intentional. And the intentional thing is to listen to what God is saying and to use the eyes of faith to see what God is doing. Yeah. So there's the listening and there's the seeing is one route. The other is completely unintentional. The other is that we suddenly wake up to a reality that we're living in and we go, oh, I'm in the middle of a kahal. I'm in the middle of a group. I'm in the middle of something that already exists. And I didn't see it. I didn't spot it. I didn't hear it. But I'm living it. And I can now see it. So one is a forethought, listening and seeing and then responding. But actually, Peter didn't see what Jesus was going to do on the water, did he? But he found himself in the midst of a situation where his only response was to get out of the boat and to put his faith into action. And then he realized, oh, heck, what have I done? So we often think that everything that is spiritual has to be in this kind of, you know, ordered, conceptual kind of way. And those of us that are conceptual people can often be happy to be there. That's me. But sometimes we find ourselves in the midst of something and we then realize that where we are is in the midst of Kahal. It's already happening. And we then have the challenge of responding to what God is already doing. Both of those are equally valid. So, good stuff. Yeah, Lisa.
I think there's two words that have struck me this morning, and one is a word I talk about all the time, but I think every example demonstrated it, and that's authenticity. People belong for an authentic, I think, Jonathan, you just talked about, sort of, you know, for a purpose, but it's authentic as well as a genuine kind of interest. But the other word I think that's come across really strongly is listening. Ellie listened to God with the other team, and something quite special has grown out of that. But the other examples, I think, all have listening. I think my challenge, if I'm really honest, if I can go a step further, is what is North Winchester Community Church as a whole? What is its flavour? What is its raison d'etre, other than we know the basics, that we're here for Jesus, we're here to worship God. But how are we going to, as a Kahal, if we are going to stay as a Kahal, what are we doing that's going to invite other people in? I'll give an example as a challenge. We had the Christmas service and I invited lots of friends on Facebook, and four people chose to come on in. And my friend who wasn't a Christian came on in, and she texted after the service and she said, "I've logged off now, Lisa. I'll leave you to chat with your friends." Now, that might be a particular challenge because of Zoom, but I think it's a challenge to us all in terms of how are we welcoming people into alcohol right now. Every week I invite somebody to come in to this Zoom. Very rarely do they come in, but I still invite them. But the challenge is, what are we doing with alcohol together? Not just our individual ones that we're going out and trying to do, but what about this group that we're in now? I know Julie's tried to bring some examples in today. But I'm just, that's the question I'm asking God right now. What are we about as a group together?
And the reason that we are exploring this the way we're exploring it is to answer that very question when we're ready. So the outworking of this will become, I hope, a stronger sense of what God is doing, so that we can respond positively and courageously and be clear about what God is calling each one of us to, and also collectively to. Other thoughts of commonality. What have you heard in the stories you've heard this morning that are similar? Yeah, Terry.
And I had to look this up to make sure it was a word. Reciprocity. And it just stuck in my brain. I didn't know if it was real or not. But it's not just a one-way street. It's not just people going out and offering a service or... It's being able to receive from other people at the same time as you have something to share.
Yeah.
And the fact that it's not just a one-off incident. Some of the time it has to be, but a lot of the time it's being open for what comes back.
That's right.
Yeah. Able to receive, yeah, receive a blessing at the same time as you give a blessing.
Yeah.
It isn't just, oh, I've got this from God for you. There it is, nicely wrapped up. Off you go. It's that being available. And often the blessing comes back unexpectedly. And as much as you give, you receive. But it's standing still long enough, I think, to develop and to receive.
Yeah.
And listening to God when it's time to stand and time to walk.
Fantastic. Thank you. And one of the critiques that we could see in the history of the church is the church as a powerful institution understood itself as having a mission of giving, of providing what it thought others needed. But actually what you're describing is that genuine kahal is built on mutuality and reciprocity. Absolutely right. That's very clear in what we've heard this morning. Other thoughts, other commonalities? So some of the other things that we might want to reflect in that, so there was the whole spontaneous thing. Kahal is something that happens, can happen spontaneously, unexpectedly. And it's being ready to respond, being equipped to respond to the spontaneous as well as the planned. And there was also something here about the power, the value of small groups where we can share life, where we can share real life. And that's not just church groups, that's beyond church groups, where real life happens. So that could be friendship groups, as Mark was describing, or groups like Empty Hands, as Lisa was describing. These are groups in which people have the space. And Bart obviously was talking about his prayer group, Bob. And these are groups that where life can be shared, the real stuff of life, and people can then respond to support one another in the real stuff of life. That's where kahal is happening. That's the original sense of kahal. And so there's something about being able to share truthfully and honestly and to feel supported as we share, but that to be a mutual and a reciprocal thing, as Terry's just been saying. So there are a number of strands that we can recognise as being common strands across all of these different forms of kahal. And over the next few weeks, I want to unpack some of those strands and dig into them a little bit deeper. And then around about kind of towards the end of March and coming into Easter, I want us to be asking the question that Lisa's just been posing about what does this look like for us going forward? What does this look like for us going forward? And we're going to be thinking about that individually, and we're going to be thinking about that corporately. What does that look like for us going forward?